Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Let's stand together if you're able. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being therefore instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for men and women of God. And we know down through the decades and centuries, there are those who have died for the cause of Christ, martyred for their faith. Lord, give us strength in this day to be servants of you, no matter the cost. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We'll begin reading at verse 9 there in Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 9. "And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother." Herod the Tetrarch had heard of Jesus and believes it must be John the Baptist risen from the dead. Herod, the son of Herod the Great, had imprisoned John because he dared to challenge his involvement with his brother's wife. One commentary said that he eloped with her. And now it is Herod's birthday celebration, and the entertainment was performed by his niece dancing, and it greatly pleased him. Then we find, to show his approval, he promises with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. That's quite a risk, isn't it? You can have whatever you want. I don't think he ever thought in his wildest dream she would ask for the head of John the Baptist. And much like Darius, who signed an unwise decree during Daniel's day, once Herod heard what was wanted, he was grieved and very sorry for his foolishness. And he was foolish. And there are times when we make a decision that we have to say, that probably was the wrong decision. Herod, though, would not go back on his oath, even though it would cost a man his life. A man would have to die. Herod was more worried that his guests would criticize him for breaking a foolish promise than concerned with doing what was right. Doing what is right. You know, sometimes we may have lived a wrong way for a number of years, and the Lord has been convicting us, and we have said, no, I want to do this.
But at some point in time, you need to come to that realization that right is right and wrong is wrong. And as my dad often said, there is no right way to do a wrong thing. Acting on fear of what others might think rather than personal conviction is always foolish and is always wrong. Thus, the man of God was brought and given, or the head of the man of God was brought and given to the damsel. I wonder what she did with it. Well, we know that she gave it to her mother, but I wonder what her mother did with it. But what about Jesus? We're going to find that Jesus, upon hearing the news of the beheading of John, departed into a desert place. Let's begin reading at verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages to buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." May I say very quickly that this is the only miracle of Jesus that was mentioned in all 4 of the gospel narratives. Of all the miracles that Jesus would do, this is the only one that is mentioned in all 4. While still grieving the loss of his cousin and forerunner, a preacher, Jesus ministers to the multitudes. You know, when you're grieving, it's very hard to want to give to others, and yet Jesus, being the giver that he is, puts his own feelings aside, and he ministers to those that were there. At eventime, his disciples suggest that it would be good if he sent the people away so they could find food for supper. How many of you call your evening meal supper versus dinner? How many of you call it dinner? How many call it supper? Some, who calls it just time to eat? Yeah, don't call, I don't care what you call me, just don't call me late to eat. As probably most of you know, Don and I spent a couple of days up at Mackinac Island for a preacher's retreat. It was called Servant's Retreat. And we spent 2 nights in the Grand Hotel on the 4th floor in a very nice room. And one thing about the Grand Hotel, there's always food. And there's a lot to eat. I had steak for breakfast one day. Isn't that nice? Do you wish you'd had steak for breakfast? No? I had an omelet 2 different days. How about an omelet? Do you like omelets? Yes. I mean, they had all kinds of things to eat. Isn't it good to eat? Some of you don't think it's good to eat. Last Sunday, we had the 5th Sunday potluck, and there was good food there. Enjoyable time. I enjoy it when God's people break bread together. This coming Thursday, we'll gather together over at the Golden Corral, and there'll be roast beef. If we get there early enough, I think we can get omelets. I think. I'm going to try to get an omelet. They'll have hamburgers, and they'll have pizza, and they'll have chicken in multiple ways. They'll even have Brussels sprouts for you that are so inclined. Maybe even lima beans. I mean, if you like that. I've been there with Fred and Pastor Stephen, and Fred always knows what he wants. Chicken, mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese. He likes those things. And then ice cream. But do you know what Pastor Stephen always gets? Cotton candy. Every time he gets cotton candy, usually two bags, he's eaten half of one before he leaves, and I think he takes the other home to your wife, to Simone. Yes. So you can come and you can get cotton candy, but it's a good thing to fellowship, would you say so? What if you had to feed 15,000 people? Now the Bible says there were 5,000 men. Now, usually, there are more women than men at an activity. And children. So some say 15,000 to 20,000 people. And Jesus says to his disciples, feed them. Now, would you say that there were certain disciples that were more vocal than others? Right? Peter was probably the most vocal. Now, I don't know which disciple came to Jesus and said, you know, you really should send them home. It's getting late, and they're going to have to get something to eat. Now, do you think there were as many restaurants back then as there are today? Don and I were coming back from the island, and we're coming south, and I decided to stop at Ponderosa. Have you been to the Ponderosa in West Branch? I don't know of any other Ponderosa in the state, but there's one in West Branch. You know what they have at the Ponderosa? They have chicken, yeah. They have food. Could they have taken care of 15,000 people? Where would you get enough food to feed 15,000 people? On the spur of the moment. And Jesus says to his disciples, they don't have to depart. Feed them. Feed them. So I'm going to call some of your names right now, okay? Are you ready? If you don't want me to call you, raise your hand. Yes. So I'm going to pick Bob Muhoff and your son-in-law, Todd, okay? And your friend back there, Rudy. And over here, we're going to get Jim Severs, who has been married now 40 years and a week. Yes. So you four, you have to feed all of us in 10 minutes. There's not 15,000 people. Don't you think they can take care of us in 10 minutes? Todd? No? Bob? Not a chance, huh? Golden Corral, yeah. Okay. Rudy? No, thank you. Okay. Oh, not likely. It's on your shoulders, buddy. We're going to be hungry. Jesus said to his disciples, how many of them are there? 12. He says to the 12, they don't have to depart. You feed them. You feed them. What would you have done? You're with Jesus, the Son of God. Wouldn't you have said something like, well, Jesus, what are you going to do to help us feed them? So what did they say to him? Well, you know the story, don't you? Andrew brings somebody, a lad. How many pieces of bread does he have? Five loaves. Now, does that mean these big loaves? I don't think so. Probably not much bigger than a roll like that. Now, don't you think it's a miracle that the five loaves are still there in his bag? Yes. Can I tell you a story? It was the sixth grade, and we were taken to Cranbrook. Do you remember going to Cranbrook? And we were on a bus. And we got to Cranbrook, and the teacher said, leave your lunches on the bus. Everybody in the class did but one. Who do you think the one was that said, no way, Jose, am I leaving my lunch on this bus? I kept my lunch. And the rest of the day, the teacher kept saying to people, and here's the one who brought his lunch. Hey, don't you think it was a miracle that he still had how many fish? Two fish. Now, I don't know how big they are. It was probably dried fish. Paul Wutke went fishing yesterday. I understand your son got a catfish. 22-pound catfish. But you released it? You decided you didn't want that bottom feeder. He didn't want to keep it. Do you like to fish? I've been fishing twice in my life. Twice. The first time, didn't catch anything. Not a thing. Second time, every time we threw the line in, we caught something. We took all at home. My mother met me on the porch. She said, go bury it. That's my experience, folks, with fishing. Nothing. Nothing. But he had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they were still in his bag. Isn't that something to be used of the Lord? Down through the centuries, this unnamed lad has been talked about over and over and over again. You know, he could have said, my mother gave it to me. It's for me. Couldn't he have said that? He could have said that. But what did he do? He shared it. He shared it. Is it sometimes hard to share? Absolutely. Last week there was a chocolate pie at the potluck. And I was told it was all gone. I mean, I had a piece. In fact, I had my chocolate pie before I had my regular food. I mean, like I said, you know, life is uncertain. Okay, so you start with dessert. And so I had the chocolate pie, and I was told it was all gone. And I believed it until the end. I saw there was still some chocolate pie left. One slice. Dr. Mark could have taken it home, Judy. He couldn't. You know what he did with it? He gave it to me. Now, don't ask if I shared it with my wife. The fact of the matter is, Donna took my dad home, and I took the pie home. And the pie was gone before Donna got back. You know, sometimes it's hard to share. But God can take little and do much with it. The United States of America is probably is the number one mission-giving country in the world. We, as a nation, through Bible-believing churches, give millions of dollars to missions. We personally, this church, sends money to about 12 different clearinghouses. From the World Baptist Fellowship and the in IBFI and the BBF and Baptist World Missions and BIMI and BIO. I think, Rudy, that's who your brother's through, BIO. I think so. And millions of dollars is given towards missions. Let me ask you this. Do you think more will be spent on alcohol today than will be given to missions today? And yet the gospel is still sent out. Why is that? Because God can take little and do much. Do much. Well, we find that Jesus said to the disciples, have them sit down. Now, the Bible calls it a desert place. Now, I don't know if there was any grass. I don't know. Maybe if I'd read one of the other narratives, I would remember. But they sat down in groups, and the disciples began to give out the food. How many fishes? How many loaves of bread? Do Do you think it was the best fish they ever ate? I think it was the best fish they ever ate. Do you think it was the best bread they ever ate? I think it's the best bread. Do you like good bread? You know, if you're going to have good pizza, you have to start with what? Good bread. You have to do it. And he began to distribute it to the disciples and the disciples out. Do you think the people knew that there had only been 5 loaves and 2 fishes? I don't know. Maybe those that were nearest when the disciples said, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then the news began to trickle, you know, he's going to feed us, but there's only 5 loaves and there's only 2 fishes. And the news began to spread, and yet people kept getting food. Okay, remember, have you ever been to Monte Carlo? Donnie used to take wedding cakes up there all the time. It was always good when we were invited to the meal so that she could cut the cake and I get to eat. What table do you want to be? Table 1 or table 64? You don't want to be table 64, do you? As you're watching the other people get served and you're drooling and you're wondering if they're going to have enough food. Yeah. You're way at the back, 15, 20,000 people, and you hear food is coming. You can't think it'd smell it. Isn't one of the greatest smells in life the smell of good bread? Yes? Oh, there's something about it. Homemade bread. And the bread is passed out, and the fish is passed out. Where'd they get this? Do you think that'd be a logical question? Where'd they get it? Jesus provided it. What a great miracle. Do you believe the Lord can provide for us? Yes. He can provide for us. There are times in which, as a pastor, your desire is to feed the people. And I think that's why you come, isn't it? To be spiritually fed. And that's our desire. So why does the Covenant Baptist Church exist? To spread the word, correct? That's our desire. Now, through the years, we've had so many good people that have helped the Covenant Baptist Church. And folks, we need your help to continue that. 63 years we'll be celebrating shortly. I hope that you will continue to help support the Covenant Baptist Church. Shall we stand together? We have a song of invitation, 375, Just As I Am. Are we willing to come to the Lord? Are we willing to serve Him faithfully? Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be like John the Baptist and imprisoned and have my head removed. But what if the Lord sends that type of persecution into our country? Are we willing to stand for the cause of Christ? Are we willing to stand for the word of the Lord? We can only do that if we are close to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this song of invitation, we ask, Lord, that your hand of blessing will be upon it. Give it strength and encouragement in our daily walk. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.